So a common discussion in the Cameron household is, how tall are you? Alexander is now the tallest in the household. I'm in second place. Marcus is in third. And the discussion is all around whether Marcus is going to catch up and overtake Daddy. But if you're following Obi, who's just been song leading, it's difficult. Well, good morning or afternoon. It's now afternoon, everybody. And this is our sermon today. It's been an interesting week, hasn't it? The big day of the week, Thursday, September the 18th, the day when a nation or part of a nation made its big decision. So the theme of that day was all about unity or not. But as Andy mentioned this morning in his welcome, it was also Andy and Sandra's wedding anniversary, which was very nice for them. Which reminded me, actually, of one time a few years back when we were meeting in the other part of this school. Andy was doing the welcome. So it was a Sunday, and it was the 18th of September. And he was saying, today's my birthday. And we all clapped. And he said, today's Sandra's birthday. And we all clapped. And then he said, which means it's also our wedding anniversary, because they got married on the day that it was their birthdays. And we were all amazed. How could this be that everything should align that way? Now, I was standing at the back of the hall, and my mind was working rather slowly, and it was like a train going through stations. Andy, birthday. Sandra, birthday. Them getting married. Now, I've known Andy since I became a Christian back in 88, so then I thought, wait a minute, I wasn't at Andy's wedding to Sandra. So why was that? And then I remembered, because I was at another wedding, my own. It was a eureka moment, and I was standing at the back, like where Andy's standing now, and I realized that, wait a minute, if I'm realizing now that it's our wedding anniversary today, then clearly I haven't done anything special for my wife. So this was one of those moments where you really wish, you know, time could stop, and you could rewind a few days, and anyway, so hopefully I'm a better preacher than I am at remembering wedding anniversaries. Anyway, you wonder, so how did it go this year? Well, this year we actually sat down before the wedding anniversary and planned when in the future we will celebrate that wedding anniversary. So we avoided the usual mistake. Anyway, so the context, however, of our sermon today is called What is a Follower? What is a follower? And just like also Andy alluded to, he saw a trailer before he went to see a film. Today is kind of a trailer for our up-and-coming teaching series. So as of next week, we'll be starting our 1st and 2nd Kings teaching. And we'll have quiet times, and we'll go through the 47 chapters of those two books. So today, because that's what I've been reading for the last X number of months, I'll be teaching from 1st and 2nd Kings. So let me give you a little context. You can be turning in your Bibles to 1 Kings 19. And Michael, you can be my clicker. There we go. So just to give you some basics here of the time. This is at the time where, unlike the United Kingdom, it was a divided kingdom. Strangely enough, the north was divided from the south. So there was a northern Israel, southern Judah. Generally, northern Israel was full of bad kings, and southern Judah was full of good kings, sometimes bad kings. And Elijah and Elisha were two prophets who taught in the north, and the prophet's job was to basically challenge the king to get back to the Bible and lead the people properly. So that was a challenging task, because you were up against the king. So in chapter 19, Elijah is the main prophet, and a drought has just finished, and he's just had what's called a showdown on Mount Carmel, and we're going to pick it up in verses 15 and 16 of chapter 19, and then jump down to verse 19. Okay. So 1 Kings 19:15. The Lord said to him, so he's talking to Elijah, go back the way you came, and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael king over Aram. Also, anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel, and anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat from Abel Mehaloah, to succeed you as prophet. So let's jump down to verse 19 in the same chapter. So Elijah went from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. "Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye," he said, "and then I will come with you." "Go back," Elijah replied. "What have I done to you?" So Elisha left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and became his attendant. So our first point today is a follower has undivided attention. It's a divided kingdom, but a follower has undivided attention. So we see here that God has commanded Elijah to choose and train a successor, which is Elisha, who, as we can see, is a farmer. And we drop in and we see this interesting scene of Elisha working in the fields, plowing the land, and then suddenly this fella appears on the scene out of nowhere and runs up and throws his cloak around him. So let me illustrate what that could have looked like. So now I need a volunteer. So this is unprepared. None of you know I'm going to ask this question. Now, in my experience, when the person speaking says, "Now I need a volunteer," there's two kinds of reaction. Some people, like the teens, go, "Yes, me, pick me. Everybody else tries to avoid contact with me, shuffles in their seat, and hopes that I'll pick one of the eager guys. That's right. Okay, so Alexander, you can come and be my volunteer for a second. And you can stand there. So we just read that. Come here, stand there. All right. So Elisha is plowing when Elijah appears. Okay, now watch what happens. What have I just done? Suppose I tell you that's my preacher's jacket. I only ever wear it to preach. Then what have I done? He's expected to preach, and you all know it. And so does he. Thank you. You can sit down. Thank you, our volunteer, Alexander. Elijah uses an interesting technique, but there's no doubt for Elisha. I have been chosen to be the next prophet. So how then does he react? And he's got an amazing reaction if we read there. He says, it took his yoke of oxen, slaughtered them, burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat, and gave it to the people. And they ate. Wow. What an incredible reaction from Elisha. Elisha still has a choice. It's not as if Elijah comes with a gun and puts it to his head and says, you've got to be the new prophet. He could have taken off the jacket and said, no thanks. But he doesn't. What I want us to look at is that undivided attention that Elisha has in responding to being the call to be a follower. Imagine teen parents, of which there are many. Your child comes home from church one day and says, "Ta-da! That's it, Mum, Dad. I've decided I want to be a Christian. And he said, great, that's it, fantastic, we're with you. And the let's say, son says, I'm having a barbecue tonight to celebrate. I'm inviting everyone around. You can come along too. You say, great. So I'll get, what we put on the barbecue? Chicken? Hot dogs? No. My history books? My English books? My math books? I'm burning everything. I'm burning up my old life. I'm burning up my school life. Because I'm going to be a Christian. And he says, he burns up his old life. Hopefully you won't do that, teens. But that is the attitude that he has. It's a challenge. His response to the call is, no going back. I am totally in this. This is not a part-time job for me. This is a full-time job. We are not called to follow Elijah or Elisha, but we are called to follow Jesus. And for those of you who were at the conference last week, or for anyone who's read the Bible, we know that Jesus demands the same undivided attention for us. If we want to call ourselves a follower of Jesus, we have to put him first. We cannot have undivided attention. We cannot treat being a Christian as a part-time job. It has to be a full-time job. We're all not going to work for the church, but in our mind and our attitude, we have to devote ourselves to Jesus 100%, just like Elisha understood here. See, many people today think being a Christian is, oh yeah, you go to church and you're a nice person. But it's not. Yes, that's true. But it's about a heart of being a follower of Jesus. So you become like Jesus, in which case you should become nicer and you will be at church. But it's so much more an attitude inside you. For those of us who were at our conference last week, remember, we were called to make that decision, to rededicate ourselves to building God's church with that undivided attention. Have you forgotten that from last week? Or how's that going? Have you made decisions? We sat in our family group this week with the men, and we discussed, what are we doing? What are we doing to get back to being, to building God's church? So let me encourage you to remember that conference and make decisions. And if you didn't get to the conference last week, let me encourage you to think about your priorities. Is that really the priority of a true follower with undivided attention to miss church? Okay? Point number two. Point number two, faithful in the small things. Let's go to chapter 2 and verses 1 to 7 of 2 Kings 2. 2 Kings now. So we fast forward, and Elijah is finishing his ministry, and we pick it up. So Elisha has been following him for the last few chapters, and he's about to take on that ministry from Elijah. So 2 Kings 2 and verses 1 to 7. Thank you. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, stay here. The Lord sent me to Bethel. But Elisha said, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. The company of the prophets at Bethel came out to Elisha and asked, do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today? Yes, I know, Elisha replied, but don't speak of it. Then Elijah said to him, stay here, Elisha. The Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he replied, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. So they went to Jericho. The company of the prophets at Jericho went up to Elisha and asked him, do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today? Yes, I know, he replied, but don't speak of it. Then Elijah said to him, stay here. The Lord has sent me to the Jordan. And he replied, as surely as the Lord lives, and as you live, I will not leave you. So the two of them walked on. 50 men of the company of the prophets went and stood at a distance facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. And we'll stop there too. So point number two, a follower is faithful in the small things. A follower is faithful in the small things. So we pick it up here, and we put on this little slide. It's a bit fuzzy, a bit hard to read. But for whatever reason, God tells Elijah to go to these various places. So he starts off in Gilgal. He then goes east to Bethel, turns around, goes back down, west to Bethel, southeast to Jericho, and further east to Jordan, which is a big round trip by my reckonings of about 40 miles. So here they are, and they are walking through this hot, dusty terrain. We know they've had a drought recently. I'm sure it is rocky. It is hard work. It is thirsty. And interestingly, Elijah at the beginning all the time says, do you want to come? You don't have to. Do you want to come? And how does Elisha respond every time? I'm going to be there. I will be there. So I was wondering, why is it that Elijah takes him to these four places? If you want to go to the next slide. Well, it could be because each place has got something significant. Okay, so it could be because Gilgal historically was the first stopping place after the Israelites crossed the Jordan. Bethel is where Jacob encountered God and had the dream, got his inspiration. Jericho was the first town that the Jews took in Joshua when they're entering the Promised Land. And the Jordan River, where they end up, was miraculously stopped to let them enter the Promised Land. So I thought maybe that's why he takes him around there. But my problem with understanding it that way is that Elijah kept saying to him, you don't have to come. So I think actually what God wants us to learn from this passage is something much more simple, which is that a follower follows. He follows everywhere because that's what he does. I understand my role is to follow you, Elijah. So if I'm a follower and you say I'm going over there, I'm going over there too. He really understands what it means to be a follower. And yet, this isn't nothing spectacular appears to be happening. They're just walking from one place to another. You know what that makes me think of? As a Christian, our life following Jesus isn't always spectacular. There are good times, absolutely, there are great things that happen. The best being when someone becomes a Christian. But the Christian life, in many ways, is the hot and dusty walk through the desert following Jesus. Because we all know, we have the sermon today and that's fine, but tomorrow, your alarm rings and you have a choice. Do I get up and read my Bible? Small choice. Do I get up and pray? A small choice. You meet someone, should I be friendly? A small choice. Should I share about God? We have all these small, insignificant, unspectacular choices which are so easy to miss out on. But what I see from Elisha is he kept doing it. He didn't give up following. Next slide. There we go. Who's done a marathon? A few of us. Well done. Heroes. I did my marathon back in 1997. And I think you can see that. It's the proof down there. But not a very inspiring picture, I have to say. It doesn't look like I'm going very fast. And it definitely doesn't look like anybody else is going very fast. The only good thing is I happen to be ahead of the other people who aren't going very fast. The time was 4 hours and 4 minutes. That is not record-breaking time. But the point for me was I finished it. That was my big thing. I'm going to start a marathon. I'm definitely going to finish it. And to do a marathon, which is a long journey and a little bit like the Christian life, you need to train. And I used to go training a couple of times a week. And this was when I lived in Denmark. And I trained with a group. And I clearly remember there was one time when I was training and we were doing probably a 20K run, whatever that is in miles. And I hit what's called the wall. So the wall when you're running is this mental kind of attitude that you cannot go any further. And I'm sure there's a biological explanation that cleverer people understand. But anyway, in your mind, all you think about is, I cannot run any longer. I must stop. Next slide. That's Christopher and his wife, Tina, who are both in the Copenhagen church. Now, Christopher is a wonderful guy, and he does Iron Man. If you know what Iron Man is? Iron Man is, you know, it's very tough. It's running, cycling, swimming on a high level. So we were trained together, and he was training with me, and I had this, we were in a group, about 10 of us, and I dropped to the back of the group. And he could see there was something wrong, so he dropped to the back of the group as well. He said, and so we're running along, I'm running along, he's running along, saying, "Tony, what's wrong?" I said, Christopher, I need to stop. I just cannot do it anymore. He said, "Tony, you're not going to stop. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to run every step with you. I'm going to be by your side. I'm going to jump up and down. I'm going to smile. I'm going to sing songs. I'm going to quote." I don't know what he said. If you know Christopher, that's the kind of guy he is. He is very, very encouraging. And he stuck with me for that last, whatever, 10K, and made sure that I made it all the way to the end. But we need to be like that with one another. As followers, you have to stick by one another to make it through to the end. And that's what Elisha did. He sticks by. And I think something, like I said, it wasn't a particularly spectacular journey that Elisha went on with Elijah, but something interesting happens on that journey. He gets these funny questions, doesn't he? Twice these company of prophets come up to him and say, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," Elisha replied, "but don't speak of it." And I wonder, what's the point? Why do we have those questions? What's going on here? I think it's a little bit like when you're at school and mum or dad says to you, "You know you've got swimming tomorrow." That, when they say, "You know you've got swimming tomorrow," they don't mean as an intellectual fact, "You've got swimming tomorrow." They mean, have you taken responsibility to pack your bag, get your swimming trunks or whatever, your goggles or whatever, your hat, all that kind of stuff, because you are going swimming tomorrow. That's what they really mean. And in a way, I think this is what they were saying to Elisha. You say, "Do you know Elijah's going to be gone very soon?" Which really means, are you ready to take on the role of main prophet when he's... Are you ready? All very well following, but you know, tomorrow, whenever, you're going to be the main guy. I wonder if he thought of that. Was he ready for that? Well, he got ready for it because he followed along to all those places. So, unspectacular though it was, he still got something very important out of it. Okay? Second point, we need to be faithful in the small things, because something will happen in those small things that we need. And then my final point, a follower is equipped for the task. Point number three, a follower is equipped for the task. Yep. Okay. Equipped by God, we'll do that. And we're going to read on from verses 8 down to 15. So they're standing here by the Jordan. Nice picture there of the Jordan. Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water with it. The water divided to the right and to the left, and the two of them crossed over on dry ground. When they crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me, what can I do for you before I'm taken from you? Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit," Elisha replied. "You've asked a difficult thing," Elijah said. "Yet, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it will be yours. Otherwise not." As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and cried out, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel." And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his own clothes and tore them apart. He picked up the cloak that had fallen from Elijah and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the cloak that had fallen from him and struck the water with it. "Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" he asked. When he struck the water, it divided to the right and to the left, and he crossed over. The company of the prophets from Jericho who were watching said, "The spirit of Elijah is resting on Elisha." And they went to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. So this is the final scene in the life of Elijah. So they cross to the eastern side of the Jordan, and they turn and have this interesting little talk, and Elijah says, okay, this is it. I'm off. What can I do for you? What can he do for him? He's about to go. I'm not sure really what kind of things he could offer him. But it says that Elisha asked for a double portion of your spirit. Now scholars think that's a reference to Deuteronomy 21, 15 to 17, which talks about in a family, as an inheritance, the firstborn gets the right to a double share of the inheritance. But really, he's not asking for a physical inheritance, is he? No, he's asking for the spirit that he sees that Elijah has, because he understands the seriousness of the calling he's got. He knows now, I'm going to be the guy who's facing these evil northern kings. And these kings will kill you if you say the wrong thing. How am I going to do that? You know, you can imagine how scared and unsure Elisha felt. Yeah, now I'm on my own. How can I do this without God being with me? It's not. I can't do that. I need to equipment to help me to fulfill this ministry. And that is what he asks for. He asks me, give me the spirit that I see you have so that I can really do this. But how can he get it? He can only get it, as we've understood, if he is a follower. If he's right by, and we come back to the same theme again and again. If he's following, if he's right there with Elijah, he will get the ability to carry on that ministry. So we've got a little picture here. The chariots of fire come through. I can't imagine what that would have been like. I've never seen any chariots of fire. I guess no one else here has seen. It made me think of Back to the Future. Classic 80s film. Back to the Future with the car that reaches, was it 82? 85. Thanks for that. It reaches 85 and goes to wherever they've programmed it. So that fire, Elisha's standing there, all these he sees these horses and chariots of fire, and then next slide. There he goes. And off goes Elijah. He goes in a whirlwind, and all that's left, can you imagine, there's all this fire and cinders and stuff, and then there's this cloak kind of like we see here, the cloak kind of floats down. Can you imagine how Elisha's feeling? Okay. Okay, picks up the cloak. Right. Did it work? Well, let me test it. Okay, I asked for a double portion of the spirit. Now, he just parted the waters. Let me see if I can. And he takes the cloak. And he's unsure. He even asks, God, where's the God of Elijah? Touches the water. And separates left and right, and the prophets, these company of prophet fellows, they're all watching, and they say, "Whoa, he's got it, he's the man, he's got the spirit, he's taken on from Elijah." I think God is trying to teach us here that if we're followers, He will give us the tools we need. We have a great calling, like we said, to follow Jesus. To follow Jesus and to share the message and to encourage one another and be Christians. We can also feel the same way. We can feel when we understand that the height to which we're being called, it's too hard. I can't do it. I can't really keep on following Jesus. I don't have the time. I don't have the energy. I don't have the skills. But I believe, God will give us the right equipment if we're faithful at following Him. Well, we see there Elijah goes off and he moves off somewhere else to be in heaven. But I just want to talk about two people who are going to move off from our congregation or kind of have moved off. So today, sadly, is the last service for Sarah D'Souza. Sarah is going to go to Boston. She's really moving on. She's going to go to Boston to be trained for 3 years in the ministry, and that will equip her to be a great leader in the kingdom. So where is Sarah? Can we give her a clap? I don't see her. Oh, there you are. Okay, Sarah's over there. So this is her last Sunday. She is moving on. And someone else who unfortunately already has moved on, that is our brother Prem. If you remember, Prem is from Hyderabad, from India, and he studied the Bible with Paul Rowden some months ago. But unfortunately, his visa ran out, so he wasn't able to continue to be in the UK. So he's had to go back to Hyderabad. But I contacted the Hyderabad church this week, because if you remember, in June, we gave money to support the work of the church in Hyderabad. And I said, so how's it going? What's been happening? And Arcana and Jacob, who lead the church, they emailed me back and they said this. Said, as a church, we were praying to convert a Cornelius family. In other words, a whole household of non-believers who become Christians. So we started to reach out. God has been very gracious and faithful. And we were invited by Jivanand last year to come to a house prayer. So these people, not Christians, but they still pray. And so they invited some of the Christians to come and pray with them. But God was in work. After that, we were building a relationship. And those people started to study the Bible. First one young man. And since then, 7 family members have been baptized. And Prem is from that family. Isn't that amazing? And 3 more are studying the Bible. Isn't that amazing? So we have our small lives. I'm going to finish off here right now. We looked at what does it mean to be a follower, what we can learn from Elisha. Elisha had undivided attention. He was faithful in the small things. And because of that, God blessed him. He gave him the equipment he needed to fulfill his mission. Now, down where I work in the city of London, and I do like my coffee. I like my coffee. So I go to a cafe called Eat. It's a chain of cafes. And they're running this marketing promotion. You may have seen it. So if you get a postcard, and the postcard has been franked, you can get a free coffee. Of course, it's not really free because you have to pay for the postage stamp. So I checked the terms and conditions, and I did send one of these cards to somebody who's sitting here. But then I took a whole bunch and sent them to myself. So I checked the terms and conditions, didn't say you couldn't send them to yourself. I thought, well, hold on, why should I pay £2.50 for a coffee where I can pay 52p? So I sent a bunch of these, and so I started walking in, handing over the card, and they give me the coffee. And anyway, I was running low on cards, so I went in one time, and I was trying to hand over a card, and there was a guy there, said, guess my age, guess my age. I said, I don't need to, I've got a free coffee. He said, no, if you guess my age, I'll give you a free coffee, and you can keep your card. So, okay, I said, so you're saying, if I guess you're 20, yes, that's the age, I'm 20, here's a free coffee. I said, okay, fine. So I kept my card, and then another time I went down, and I got a till receipt for my card, even though I hadn't paid for anything, and the lady said, if you go online and fill in a customer survey, and you'll get a code, you can bring the receipt back, and you'll get a free coffee. I said, okay, well, I've not even paid for the not even paid for any of these. Okay, fine. So I did that, and each time I got sent it, put in my card, I got a receipt, and so I filled in. Now I'm getting free coffees on almost free coffees. But then eventually, I ran out. So I was down there with meeting John Partington, who many of you know. He's doing a lot of work in Zambia, and we were sat together. And we went into the cafe, and I thought, for so many months I've never had to pay for a coffee, and I'm finally going to break that chain. Okay, I'll buy a cheap coffee anyway. So I just bought a cheap coffee. I bought a cup of tea, and Martin, I said, and John, he bought a coffee. So I was looking there. I had my £4 ready to pay. And the lady looked at me and said, it's on the house. So I didn't pay again. I think God is a little bit like that. He's a lot like that. If you're a faithful customer, because a follower is like a faithful customer, and I'm a faithful customer at Eat, and they know my face, and they just want to give me free coffee. If you're a faithful follower of God, He will give you what you need to be successful as a Christian. Amen.
I was trying to figure out where he was going with that coffee. If you're a Christian, you get free coffees. Yeah, you know. Actually, Tony did send me that postcard, so it means I get to have a free coffee, so I appreciate that. But I really want to thank Tony for his lesson. I think one of the things I appreciate about Tony's sharing and his preaching and his teaching is that he's very, very clear on his points. You know, the fact is that that we need to be undivided as we follow God. That we can't allow distractions. We can't allow our old way of life to draw us back. But instead that we need to burn our bridges and commit wholeheartedly to following God with all our hearts. And secondly, just being being faithful in the small things. Such a simple thing that Elisha would follow Elijah from Gilgal to Bethel to Jericho. Just follow him walking around, because that's what followers do. And you know, for us as Christians, as Tony shared, it's not always going to be the spectacular in our Christianity. That God wants us to be faithful in the little things. Just getting up in the morning to have your quiet time. Just praying. Just reaching out and sharing your faith. Just being at church, coming to church. Being faithful in the little things. And as we do that, then God equips us to live the life. Let's just give Tony a round of applause for the message. Obviously, last week we had the conference, so we didn't get a chance to have a send-off for Prem, but you can get his address or his email details from Tony or Paul Rowden when you see him, and send him a card just to wish him the very best. And also then in the fellowship afterwards, get a chance to say your farewells to our daughter Sarah, who will be going off, but I'm sure we'll be seeing her again over the years to come. So, but this time, we're going to go ahead and end the service with one final song. Let's go ahead and stand and sing and close out our service with a final song.